I'll read this reading for you twice through, and then we'll just settle into hopefully that grace that will come as soft as rain. The words of Pedrick Otoma. Neither I nor the poets I love have found the keys to the kingdom of prayer. And we cannot force God to stumble over us where we sit. But I know it is a good idea to sit anyway. So every morning I sit, I kneel, waiting, making friends with the habit of listening, hoping that I am being listened to. There I greet God in my own disorder. I say hello to my chaos, my unmade decisions, my unmade bed, my desire and my trouble. I say hello to distraction and privilege. I greet the day and I greet my beloved and bewildering Jesus. I recognize and greet my burdens, my luck, my controlled and uncontrollable story. I greet my untold stories, my unfolding story, my unloved body, my own love, my own body. I greet the things I think will happen, and I say hello to everything I do not know about the day. I greet my own small world, and I hope that I can meet the bigger world that day. I greet my story, and I hope that I can forget my story during the day, and I hope that I can hear some stories, and greet some surprising stories during the long day ahead. I greet God. I greet the God who is more than God, more than the God I greet. Hello to you all, I say, as the sun rises above the chimneys of North Belfast. Hello. Neither I nor the poets I love have found the keys to the kingdom of prayer. And we cannot force God to stumble over us where we sit. But I know that it's a good idea to sit anyway. So every morning I sit, I kneel, waiting, making friends with the habit of listening, hoping that I am being listened to. There I greet God in my own disorder. I say hello to my chaos, my unmade decisions, my unmade bed, my desire and my trouble. I say hello to distraction and privilege. I greet the day, and I greet my beloved and bewildering Jesus. I recognize and greet my burdens, my luck, my controlled and uncontrollable story. I greet my untold stories, my unfolding story, my unloved body, my own love, my own body. I greet the things I think will happen, and I say hello to everything I do not know about the day. I greet my own small world, and I hope that I can meet the bigger world that day. I greet my story, and hope that I can forget my story during the day. And I hope that I can hear some stories, greet some surprising stories during the long day ahead. I greet God, and I greet the God who is more God than the God I greet. Hello to you all, I say, as the sun rises above the chimneys of North Belfast. Hello. The official title of this sermon is Podcasts I Listened to Over and Over Again While I Was on Sabbatical, Part 2. And it has a subtitle, which is Things Keep Happening So Fast That I Am Going to Tell You Something Else Also. A lot of things are subtitled that these days. Joanna Macy, in her work, says that time is speeding up. And I'm acutely aware of that experience these days, that things just happen quickly, and it's hard to stay present and stay balanced in everything that happens every day. So the reading that I read to you twice, I have listened to over and over and over again. It's the very end of a book, but I heard it first in an interview with Padraic O'Tuama, who is the leader of the Corrymeela community in Northern Ireland. That's a community that has been going since 1965, I think. And they do truth and reconciliation work there. They've done it with people from all over the world, and they have done it with people from Northern Ireland. This center was started before the Troubles in Northern Ireland, kept going right through all of the violence there, and continues now that they have more peace in Northern Ireland. And this is what they describe as, I think, their mission. We have 50 years of experience working alongside fractured communities and groups who are finding their relationships difficult, as well as addressing relational, societal, structural, and power dynamics. When I read that, I thought, I wonder if we could send the United States for a retreat. just 3 days, maybe, could. But this is their work, is to invite people into difficult conversations, to invite people who think they can't talk to each other, to find a way to be in relationship with each other, to hear each other. And there are many stories from this community about doing just that. And part of how they do it is because they have grounded themselves spiritually. Can hear in that piece I read for you, that description of a prayer life, of being willing to meet all kinds of uncertainty and upheaval and the unknown internally and in the world. The way that Padraic O'Tuama moves back and forth from the innermost chambers of his heart to the wide world, and then back into his heart, and then out again in this open exchange. And I love his line, "We cannot force God to stumble over us where we sit." Which I understand to mean we can't expect too much from any particular moment of prayer or meditation or painting or walking in the woods. We can't make insight or peace come to us just because we have engaged in our practice, whatever it is. And I love the theology here, the understanding, the definition of God. the God that Patrick is talking about is not at all, is not all powerful and is not all present, but is a being who's walking around, stumbling into people, missing people, being part of a conversation here and missing out on the one over here. Sometimes making contact and sometimes not. I don't think that there is actually a God like that, but I think it's an interesting way to understand how we practice, how we live in our lives. And it's an interesting way to understand why the feeling of being connected, of being enlightened, is so variable. He embraces a lot of paradox in this short passage. He hopes to greet his own story and hopes to forget his own story. He greets his own small world and then goes out into the big world. It's a practice of greeting what is. Your story, your experience is essential and needs to be honored, deeply felt. And it is also essential to forget your own story and move out into a larger story. Both, somehow. Both. Every morning, every day. It's how we settle into who we are and how we get pulled apart and enlivened. In the course of the interview, one of the other lines from his book gets said over and over again. Belonging creates us and undoes us. Belonging creates us and undoes us. Being in community is the work of always becoming more and more deeply who we are. Whether that means just understanding who we are because we are connected to other people, or bringing our innermost heart out into public, or coming to understand that our inner self is showing, even though we aren't aware of it most of the time. So in this describing of how belonging to each other creates us and undoes us, Patrick describes the meaning of the name of this community that he leads, Corrymeela. It's an old Irish name. And for some time, they thought that it meant Harmony Hill. And he said, oh, isn't that lovely? Harmony Hill. Well, of course, they're in the business of having difficult conversations, of bringing people together who have killed each other's relatives and sitting them down to have a conversation. You can see that Harmony Hill might feel just a little... Well, finally, a linguist came along and said, actually, you know what those Irish words, old Irish words mean? They mean lumpy crossings. And he said, ah, that is right. That's the experience that we're in the midst of. Two crossroads that meet. They're not the smoothest. And so we're about the business of what that meeting is like, how we understand ourselves when the crossroads come together, what we see in ourselves and in each other, how we learn to greet each other. One of the very particular conversations that he describes was a time that they had a group of LGBTQ people together with some very conservative Christian folks who felt like they didn't have a lot in common. And they had conversation after conversation and, of course, cup of tea after cup of tea. And after a few days, one of the very Christian men who described himself, I think, as evangelical, got to the point that he asked the room, "When I have spoken and been with you, have I bruised you?" And at first everyone said, "Oh no, you're fine." And he said, "No, I'm really asking you." And they had to say yes. And he said, "How often?" And they said, "We had to stop counting." And he said, "So you're telling me that just being around me is hard on you?" And they said, "Yes." And then the next conversation began. That is a lumpy crossing. Someone who is willing to look at how they greet the world, what the greeting really is, and how others can greet them. And that's how the transformations begin. I, of course, imagine this lumpy crossing as two paths coming up the sides of an Irish hillside, so you can't always see who's coming. You know just before you get there that you're about to meet someone. And then you have to navigate in that moment how you'll be together in this crossroads. A week or so ago, I was driving my 4-year-old home from childcare, and we came to a stop sign, and he said, "Why did we stop?" And I said, "Well, we got to a stop sign, there's an intersection, and it was our turn to stop." I have to talk a lot about taking turns. So then he said, "What's an intersection?" So I describe the agreement that we have, that when roads come together, we'll take turns, that we have to pay a little more attention when roads are coming together so that we don't run into each other. And so we have stop signs and stop lights to help people know whose turn it is. It's all a way of paying attention to what other people are doing so that we can all be safe. It's another thing you have to talk about. I realize, of course, as I'm explaining to him what the word intersection means and why we've stopped, that I'm really describing the set of agreements that allows us to form a society. That little moment is how we have any gathering. We have agreements there we try to follow, about when we'll pause, when we'll let someone else go, when it's not our turn, when it is our turn, and how we make space for everyone to move through the crossings of life. And that's the same work that Christopher Ellis talked about last week when he described that practice of you matter, in which you pause yourself and in your own mind look at someone and think in your own mind, you matter. And then notice what comes up in your own mind. What story you come up with, if there's some part of your mind who thinks that this person maybe matters less because of any of a number of stories that you make up about them in that first glance. Did any of you try this practice in the past week? Did you have interesting experiences in your... Some not interesting, some interesting. It is something... Part of the practice is to be able to notice what happens in your own mind, which can be a little bit hard to actually observe your own inner turnings. And that gets a little easier with practice, a lot of practicing in life. So if you haven't tried it, I offer it to you again, to pause and look at people and just think to yourself, you matter. And see what happens in your mind. You may start to think things about yourself, which is also interesting information. It's all part of the practice of belonging to each other. Looking at someone and thinking, you matter, is a way of saying, you belong to me, and I belong to you. And we are creating and undoing each other, even in this moment when we're not necessarily talking. These practices of opening ourselves up to be a little bit more vulnerable, to letting that innermost part of the heart come out into the world, is how we belong to each other and how we greet each other. One of the greetings that is happening in Unitarian Universalism, I talked about a couple of weeks ago, and it is continuing to unfold. Very much a lumpy crossing. There has been a conversation in Unitarian Universalism that for a variety of reasons, it has been observed again, that our structure and our system and some of our processes have systemic racism built into them. And indeed, the language that's used is a system of white supremacy, which is that white culture is treated as being supreme or better than, mostly unconsciously. That's the hard stuff. So that conversation has been unfolding with lots of long letters addressed to lots of different parties back and forth about who should be doing what. And I have watched this go by, knowing that the question of how we greet each other in this world, how we remember that we belong to each other, even when there's a disagreement and a profound betrayal, really, is something we have to figure out, because we do belong to each other. We just have to figure out how to live into it. And I knew that this other piece of the story was coming that happened yesterday, which is that the district board that I sit on asked the congregations of Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont if they would approve the board's decision to give $100,000 from the district endowment to Black Lives UU to sustain their work, to sustain that organization, and to help it grow so that it can support people of color in Unitarian Universalism, and so that it can help us figure out new ways of truly greeting each other, of truly creating and undoing each other so that we can actually be together and not just be polite together. So at a meeting yesterday, that was unanimously approved by the congregations in northern New England, along with this other statement. Well, they posed it as a question, and the answer was yes. Shall the Northern New England District commit up to a maximum of $100,000 in additional funds over 2 years to match contributions from congregations to the Black Lives UU Endowment Fund, with money to be drawn from the Operations Fund of the Northern New England District Endowment? Which means we've said yes to $100,000 from the endowment, and if congregations in Northern New England raise another $100,000 among ourselves to send to Black Lives UU, the district endowment will send another $100,000. How many times have I said that now? Total of three, hopefully. To support an organization that's organized differently. They're a collective, and they make their decisions collectively. They don't use Robert's Rules of Order. They have a different kind of decision-making process. And they, one of the most interesting things that got said yesterday is that someone from Black Lives UU stood up at the district meeting and said, we're part of Unitarian Universalism. There have been times when people of color have left Unitarian Universalism because it's hard, which is not something that Unitarian Universalism has a unique corner on. That's my addition, but I'm pretty sure that could be agreed upon. He said, but we belong here, and you belong here, and we want to do this together. And we ought to figure out how to do it, because we don't, currently we're doing all of this by volunteer effort, and it's a bigger job than we can do that way. And his claim that essentially we belong together, we just have to figure out how to be together, truly be together, I think was the moment when the room went from, I think we really want to do this, to, oh, done. That claim of belonging to each other, of remembering that our stories are all one. So as we engage this conversation over the next years about racism, about how being white means that we're in that, whether we want to be or not, for us to remember that it's about belonging to each other, deeply belonging to each other, is what will make the next version of Unitarian Universalism possible. Because we're now in a process of being undone. The way we have done things will be changed. Occasionally makes people anxious. So we just have to keep remembering that we belong to each other. It may be a lumpy crossing, but we belong to each other. It's true about what happens in racism. It's true about the ways that we navigate committee life in church. It's true about the way we navigate our children growing. Things keep changing and we get hurt, and we have to figure out how to come back to each other over and over again. Which is why that mission statement that Skip read to you in his piece of Taking Care of Our Home is pretty important in this moment when a lot is up for grabs. It helps us remember that there's something to hold on to, that there's something that we belong to and that belongs to us that's bigger than a particular difficult moment, that there's something that we're always growing into, that larger story, the stories we haven't heard yet, the stories we don't even know about yet that are out there that we belong to. So I'll read you this, our new mission statement again. At FUSE, First Unitarian Universalist Society of Exeter, we seek to build a caring, inclusive community where we can ground ourselves spiritually, pursue justice in the larger society, and work to heal the natural world. The first statement is that the relationships, as Rob said, the ways that we are together, that's primary. That's what everything else gets built on. That seems like a good way to live. And it means that we can tend that about how we can truly belong to each other. So that's a conversation to have. It's just a few lines, a few words in our mission statement. One of the things that I thought about a lot over sabbatical is my own tendency to just get things done, because there's a lot. And sometimes I forget to do things with people as often as would be. Mary's nodding. Mary's not, now she's saying, no, I'm not saying that. I think it's an, you understand what I'm saying about, it's easy to get into the work and forget that doing the work together is the work. So that's one of my sabbatical truths, which I'm trying to live into with you. That doing the work together is the work. And there are some ways that this community has totally got that. And it's just fantastic. And I'm keenly aware of the times when I completely miss it. So if you see me off on that road, you are completely welcome to just say, let's do it together. And you are not responsible for calling me back from that, but just give you permission that if you're thinking, oh, it's getting a little tasky. To know that all of the things we do together, we do belonging to each other. It's one of the things that I was talking about one of those weeks just before I went on sabbatical, saying that we welcome the voices of babies and young children in worship because it's part of how we belong to each other. And that this is a place where we're going to talk frankly about if you can't hear, if I'm over here and you're not, the hearing aid doesn't pick me up, let me know. And if one of the hearing aids is squealing and it's distracting, just tell your neighbor that that's happening. Because we belong to each other and we can just talk about it. I also talked about not using screens during worship time. Screens certainly help us not belong to each other. And in this hour, it's a little lumpy to put it down, but let's be together. There's so much happening. We need this time to just be here before we step out into it again. This is the place where we get to practice the foundation of belonging, of being created and undone, being present for just what is. This is where we practice belonging, where we practice knowing we belong.